Okay, well, thank you, and good to be here this morning and to open up the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would bless our time together in this Saturday morning Bible study. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us through your Word, that your Word would do its work in our hearts and lives. Lord, teach us and help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you. Thank you for this Saturday morning, and thank you for your Word, and thank you for who you are and why you came. We just bless your name. We pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, Brother Melvin has been teaching on the Dordrecht Confession of Faith, and last week he was in the third article, and I'm just going to give like a introduction to the fourth article. The fourth article, the title of it is Of the Coming of Christ into This World and the Purpose for Which He Came. And like I say, I'll just do the introduction or do an introduction to it. When man sinned, God could have wiped man off of the face of the earth and started all over with some other kind of creation. But instead, he promised a deliverer. He promised to send a Savior, a Messiah. And God didn't have to do that. God doesn't need man to make him happy. God is complete in himself. He is totally sufficient. So saving man did not benefit God, but it did benefit man. Saving man cost God a lot. He paid that price because he loved and still loves man. God loved those 6,000 years ago, when the earth was created and man was created. And then also 2,000 years ago, God still loved man when he sent Jesus Christ to this earth. And he still loves man even today. He loves you and he loves me. I just wonder this morning, those who are listening, if you really believe that. Do you really believe that God loves you? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar verse, but it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world, and he loves you. For God so loved Steve Clark that he gave his only begotten Son. Put your name in there. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, the promises of God are the prophecies that God has in the Old Testament to send a deliverer, a Savior, a Messiah. He has many of these promises. And it's one of my favorite topics is to talk about Jesus Christ. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about the coming of the Savior, this Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed one. And the Jews in the past were looking for that Messiah to come because of the promises, because of the prophecies that were written in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at some of those. There are dozens of them, dozens of promises, prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Some promises are talking about his first coming. Some are talking about his second coming. And Jesus' birth, his life, and his death fulfill many of those promises, and his second coming will fulfill the rest of them. For him to fulfill all those prophecies is, for one man or any one man to fulfill all those prophecies is a miracle. It's just, I heard an example one time of if somebody would blow up a library, all these books in a library, and they just get blown up, and those pieces come floating down to the earth, and out of those pieces forms a house or a book or whatever it would form into a perfect order and things. That would be similar to what these prophecies concerning Christ hundreds of years before he came, and down to the very details, him coming and fulfilling that is just a miracle. It was only the divine act of God to have all those in the Old Testament and then fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. I praise God for that. What a faith builder to see the life of Jesus Christ fulfilling all these prophecies. Well, last Saturday, a group of us went to New York City to Washington Square Park, and we were there witnessing to people. And there was a couple that I witnessed to. My daughter and I were together, and it was an old Jewish couple. they'd been married 65 years, and I don't even know how old they were, but they were sitting on this bench, and they actually called us over and asked us some questions. And so we started talking to them, and I started, or I found out that they were Jewish, and I gave them some things about Christ from the New Testament, and they didn't receive that at all. They said, oh, he was a nice reformer, but that was about all. And, you know, the things that they said about Jesus, it just made my heart sick because of the rejection that they had towards him. But so then I went to the Old Testament, and I went to Isaiah and talked about some things in Isaiah about Jesus coming as a child and being born, and that he would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and they rejected that for some reason. And then I went to, and they said that Isaiah, I don't know, it was not like all they believed in was the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. So I went to the Old Testament book of Genesis and talked about him coming out of the book of Genesis, and they had some reason why they couldn't believe that either. And it was so sad to see, and it seemed to me like it was very much like what Jesus said, that ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I felt so bad for these people, and I ended up leaving them and telling them that their time, you know, they're getting older and they're going to face a judgment, and they're going to see Jesus Christ, and they're going to, their knee will bow and their tongue will confess, and I wish it could be in this life, because in that life it'll be too late. And I just left them with that challenge. But but the prophecies in the Old Testament are very, very wonderful. And Brother Melvin last week talked about the one in Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about the seed of the woman crushing the serpent's head. I want to look at some other ones this morning. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that's talking about Abraham's seed, which was Christ. It's in Galatians, it talks about it wasn't seed many, but it was seed as Christ, that in all the, that in Abraham, or through Abraham, that all the families of the earth would be blessed. And it was not actually through Abraham directly, but it was through his seed, which was Jesus Christ. And then I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee to thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And this also is talking about Jesus Christ, a prophet, and that people are going to listen to him, and that he would come from the Jewish race there. And then in verse 18 of the same chapter says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And you know, that was what Jesus did, is he spoke the words that God commanded him. And so this prophecy, and we'll look at that in a little bit also in Peter's sermon in Acts. But in fact, let's turn there right now. Acts chapter 3. This is Peter's sermon, and it says here in Acts chapter 3, verses, starting with verse 18, it says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 22, for Moses truly sent unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And if you notice, that was the same prophecy that we just read in Deuteronomy there, where it would be that there would be a prophet from among their brethren. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And then, let's see, I think I'll just read the last couple of verses here. It says, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, that was the one I just read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that in thy seed, Abraham's seed, will all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so this is talking about Jesus. It's the fulfillment of those prophecies that we just read in Genesis chapter 12 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 18 here. So, I mean, that gets me excited to see these prophecies and see how they're fulfilled in their very detailed. Well, there's many in Psalms. I only have one that I'm going to read. It's Psalms 132, verse 11. It says, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And so this is talking about Christ coming from David, from the loins of David, being David's seed. In Isaiah, there's also many prophecies, and I wanted to look at some of those. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel means God with us. And there was going to be a sign given for this Messiah that was going to come, this deliverer, this one who was going to set the captives free. And that was, the sign was that a virgin would give birth to a son. And we see that in the New Testament, where Jesus was born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. And what a sign that was. I mean, how can anybody miss that except to just not believe, you know? And because how many children have been born of a virgin? There's been none, only Mary. And Jesus was that son that was born. And his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So this prophecy was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So people that are walking in darkness, they've seen a great light in the life of Jesus Christ. Light has come. And in verse 6 it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this not only shows Christ coming to this, not only shows Christ who will be when he comes to this earth, born as a child, and given as a son, given by God, but it also shows some of his names, and it shows that he's called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. That Jesus Christ isn't just a man, wasn't created by God, but he is the very God, the creator of the heaven and earth, the creator of the earth, or of all things, and he's the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful prophecy. Promise that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. Now I also want to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to read the first four verses. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, which Jesse was David's father, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That rod and that branch this branch is talking about Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. I'll stop there, but this prophecy is talking about the character of Jesus, what he'll be like, the knowledge that he will have, and that he's coming from David here again, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding coming upon him, being part of him. So, let's see, and from, okay, and then it says here that the Gentiles, yeah, maybe that's the next one. Said something about the Gentiles seeking him. I don't see it in that passage. Okay, let's go to the next one. Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So what a beautiful promise. And it also shows the waiting of the Jews, the waiting of them for the Messiah to come. And many of them missed his coming. Many of them didn't believe, but there were many that did believe. All of the disciples of Christ, they were all Jewish, and they all, the 12 apostles, they all believed, and they all saw him fulfilling these promises. And also different ones in the temple, like the old woman Anna, who was in the temple, and Simeon, and many were looking for the promise of his coming, and they believed on him when they saw him. So here, it even talks about his death and his raising from the dead, that death, he will swallow up death in victory, that there is no victory in death, but Jesus Christ is victorious over death. And all tears will be wiped away, and I'm sure on that resurrection morning when all of those disciples they were all sad because of Jesus' death, but then when he rose from the dead, those tears were wiped away, and they were glad and excited and praised God. So then we have there in verse 9 that this is our God, talking about Jesus, not as a man, but as God. This is our God who we've been waiting for, Jesus Christ. Okay, well then let's go to Isaiah 42 has many beautiful promises of Christ. I don't think we have time to read that. Isaiah 42, 1 through 8. Maybe you can read it on your own. Isaiah 42, 1 through 8. I want to go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. This is talking about Jesus. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now listen to this. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this is all written in the past tense. It's talking about that it already happened, but this was written actually 100 or more years, couple hundred years, I think, before the time of Jesus actually coming. And it's talking about him suffering. It's talking about him being rejected of God. And we see that when he was on the cross and he said, where he cried out and said, Father, how do you say it? I can't think of the words, but where he said, where God was... away from him. And so we see that, we see him wounded and beaten and bruised and chastised, and this was a prophecy of Jesus coming and Jesus fulfilling in his life and in his death. So then over to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the coming of the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And this here is, I think, one of the most exciting prophecies. And let me explain why. Well, I want us to go over to Luke chapter 4. Turn to Luke chapter 4. This is right after Jesus began his ministry. And he was... Luke chapter 4, verse 16 it says, "And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." So here Jesus is coming into the synagogue and stood up to read. "And it was given him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And this is the very place that I just read here in Isaiah 61. And Jesus says these words, or he's reading these words out of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Verse 20, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down." So what Jesus did there is he read the first verse, and of course it may not have been in the same form as what we have at verse 1, verse 2, but he read this first verse, and then he read the first line or the first phrase of the second verse, but he stopped there, and he didn't read, "And the day of vengeance of our God." He read, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," and he stopped. And it says in Luke here that he closed the book. He ended there, he closed the book, and he gave it back to the minister. And he didn't say, "And the day of vengeance of our God," because Jesus' first coming was these things, where he was going to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and open the prison and preach good tidings unto the meek. This was his first coming. His second coming is when the day of vengeance of our God will come. That's when he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those that know not God and those that don't believe in the Son of God and believe in Jesus Christ. So it's just exciting for me to see in the New Testament here this prophecy fulfilled. And he stops right there, closes the book, and he doesn't go on about his second coming. He's only talking about his first coming. And then he gets up and says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That's verse 21 of Luke there. And then the people ended up getting upset with him, mad at him. They were going to even try to kill him at that time because they didn't believe in him. So these wonderful prophecies. There's many more, like in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Micah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, all speak of the coming of Jesus Christ. I want us to look at just a couple more here. The book of Micah, chapter 2, it talks about Christ coming from Bethlehem, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And that's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In Zechariah 9, I want to turn there and read there. Zechariah verse chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And if you remember, Jesus fulfilled that promise, that prophecy, when he came into Jerusalem riding on the ass. And they were going to, and that was what we call as Palm Sunday. They were laying palm branches down. And he was riding. They were thinking this was him coming as a king. And this is what it says, "Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just." And he was a king. He is a king. But he wasn't coming to set up an earthly kingdom like they thought he was going to come and set up an earthly kingdom at that time. And so they missed him again because they didn't believe. They had their mind that he was coming to set up an earthly kingdom. Jesus Christ came to set up a kingdom, and he is a king. And we are part of his kingdom, but not in an earthly sense. So they missed him again, and it's so sad, just like that old couple that I talked to in Washington Square Park just last Saturday, who's heard many things about Jesus Christ, but still rejects him and still doesn't believe because of some things. And when all these prophecies are so clear, but their eyes are blinded to these things, God have mercy. And Zechariah chapter 12, just turn the page there, verse 10, says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Now this prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he was pierced in the side with a sword. If you turn to Matthew chapter 19, it talks about this prophecy, and many of these I haven't had time or didn't have the time this morning to go through and look at all of the New Testament ones where they were fulfilled specifically. But they were fulfilled specifically. I've just kind of talked about most of them. But Matthew chapter 19, verse, it talks about him being pierced with a sword, and that they would look upon him whom they have pierced. Anyway, I think I wrote the wrong verse down there in Matthew, but prophecy was fulfilled when he was hanging on the cross, and that there was a lot of mourning at that time, but as we read earlier, that mourning was turned into joy, that mourning was turned into rejoicing and gladness when he rose from the dead. Praise be to God. Well, the promises of Christ coming. He is a blessing to all people groups. All families of the earth have been blessed through Jesus' life, through his coming. He was a prophet like Moses and only did the will of God and spoke what God told him to say. He was a descendant of both Abraham and David. He was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. He was God come in the flesh, Emmanuel. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He did ride upon an ass. Many prophecies were also, as we saw there, concerning his death. He was betrayed by a friend. And that man was given, Judas was given 30 pieces of silver, like it was said in the Old Testament, who then later killed himself, and that money was given to buy a potter's field, the specific promise about the potter's field in the Old Testament, to bury this man. Jesus did suffer and die. He was despised and rejected. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He was lifted up upon a cross. He was pierced. He brought light to those who walked in darkness, and he is still doing that today. He has brought salvation, and he is still saving souls today. He is changing lives. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Jesus said these words, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And this was Paul recounting Jesus' words when he was on the road to Damascus. And Paul was writing this, what Jesus said. But he opened the eyes. He turned people from darkness to light and is still doing that. From the power of Satan unto God, that they would receive forgiveness of sin, that we would receive forgiveness of sin, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And Gentiles are seeking after him. My question is, are you seeking after him? Are you seeking this living God who came to this earth? Yes, he came as a baby, but he is not a baby anymore. He is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in him? In the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, which was Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus here is referred to as the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is talking about Jesus Christ, who made all things, along with his Father and along with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Notice here, to open their eyes and to turn people from darkness to light. But the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There were many, there still are many who don't comprehend it and don't, they're not changed because they refuse to believe. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That light, then, is Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, of Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that's true. We are all, because of the creation even, Brother Melvin, I think, talked about that last week, but because of the creation, none of us have an excuse. We all can see God through the creation. Verse 10, he was in the world, Jesus Christ, and the world was made by him, like we read in verse 2 there, or in verse 3, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. He came to the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word that was talked about in verse 1 there, that became flesh, that was God, this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came to this earth. He came to fulfill all of those promises. And verse 12 there, it said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And my question, my challenge to you is, have you received Christ and become one of his sons or one of his daughters? That is, have you believed in him? Have you received him? Or are you rejecting him for some reason? Maybe it's personal reasons. Maybe you have things like sins that you don't want to give up, or maybe you just simply don't believe. I don't know. But my hope is that in looking at some of these things that we looked at this morning, these prophecies, that faith would rise up in your heart, and you would see Jesus Christ in a greater, in a new life, and that your eyes would be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan into God. And I know many that are listening have experienced what I'm talking about here, and I praise God for that. But maybe there's some that aren't, that haven't. Well, the first Article 4 of the George Freck Confession. I'll just read the first sentence here, and it's a long sentence, as most of them are, but this is pretty much what I tried to cover here this morning. We believe and confess further that when the time of the promise, for which all the pious forefathers had so much longed and waited, had come and was fulfilled, this previously promised Messiah, Redeemer, and Savior, proceeded from God, was sent, and according to the prediction of the prophets and testimony of the evangelists, came into the world, yea, into the flesh, was made manifest, and the Word himself became flesh and man, that he was conceived in the Virgin Mary, who was a spouse to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and that she brought him forth as her firstborn son at Bethlehem, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. All right, well, I think I'm going to close with that, and God bless you all. I'll turn the time back over to Brother Mose.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Steve. It's sure been a blessing to be here this morning. Praise God for the prophecies in the Old Testament. How can anybody deny the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with so many fulfilled prophecies concerning him? I just praise God. And you know, there's another, there's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And just as sure as his first coming, he will come again. And are we looking forward to that time when he comes again to receive his own? Or are we scared? Are we scared that we might not be ready? I have to think of the 10 virgins. You know, they were waiting. They thought they were waiting on the coming of the bridegroom. But five of them were ready and five of them were not. And, you know, it does say in the Word of God that many will confess the name of Jesus, but yet will not be ready when he comes. And so let us not miss him when he comes to take us home. Let us not, let us be ready. Let us seek the Word, seek God now while he may be found. And because he is coming again, it's a sure thing. It's not just one of those things that, well, I'm not sure about that, but it is a sure thing. He is coming again, and we don't know when, but prophecies are certainly being fulfilled even in these last days. And so we trust that the time is near and when he will come again to take home his bride. And so let us be ready and seek. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So it's very important that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And seek to be, I know some of us, you know, we grew up being taught, cannot know that we are in right standing with God. But the Bible teaches us otherwise. The Bible, the New Testament clearly tells us that we can know that we've been born again, that we have a right relationship with God. So let us seek him with all our heart, and he will lead us and he will guide us. And it's just so beautiful that that Jesus Christ has come and he shed his blood for us, and he's given us life, life more abundantly, the peace and the joy that we can have, not only in eternity, not only in heaven, but even today we can have peace and joy, and we can have that harmony in our own homes, and our children could just live together in peace and joy. It's so beautiful. And I just, I'm not sure, I just love to bring that out even more clearly, how that, you know, this Christian life is not just to save us from hell, but it is a life of peace and joy and harmony and fellowship with brethren. It's beautiful. And I just trust that you will seek after him.
To listen to part two of Article 4 by Melvin Kaufman, press 4-1. God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.